I want to talk to you about a doctrine, and the doctrine is the doctrine of fellowship. It is a teaching in the New Testament in regards to the church, and I want to examine tonight from the Scriptures, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, what is biblical fellowship? What is biblical fellowship? In the beginning, Adam was placed in the garden to enjoy friendship and fellowship with God. God couldn't do that with an elephant. And He couldn't do that with a tiger. But He could do that with man and with woman. And they were created to enjoy fellowship with God. But there came a day when they chose to break that fellowship. They chose to sin. And when they sinned, they broke fellowship with God. And instead of God coming down in the cool of the day and there being wonderful fellowship, Adam and Eve are now hiding from God in the beginning of the book of Genesis. And so, yet, God immediately sought them out and revealed His plan for the restoration of fellowship. And remember, they were naked and He clothed them. And He clothed them with skins, pointing to the blood of Christ that would be shed, so that man's sins could be forgiven, so that we could have fellowship with God. And fellowship we have from the very beginning of the Scripture. Fellowship, though, today in our society is somewhat of a loose term, has churchy meanings. In fact, how many of you grew up in a church and they had a fellowship hall? They named part of their building a fellowship hall. All right, you're familiar with that terminology. Sometimes people mean that by it, but what I would like to do is look at the Scriptures tonight and identify what is truly biblical fellowship. If we're to use that word as the Bible used that word, what is biblical fellowship? Is biblical fellowship the opportunity to have a piece of pizza with somebody? Is biblical fellowship the opportunity to have a coffee with somebody? What is biblical fellowship? I think that's important for us to examine, and we don't want to use that word lightly when the Word of God has clear instruction on what it means. And so the term for fellowship in the New Testament means that which is shared in common. If you looked up that word and you looked it up in a dictionary of Bible words, you would find that the word fellowship means that which is shared in common. It is a common life. It is a common function. It is a common purpose. And we have that in a local church. We have a common life together. We have a common function together. We have a common purpose together. And fellowship revolves around that which we have in common. Watch this. Spiritually. That which we have in common spiritually. To show the depth of the term as it was used in other cultures, it was used of as a business partnership where two or more persons share the same business and thus are very closely connected in their work. But it was also used of marriage, of two people sharing life together in the context of marriage, man and woman. And so, the Bible word is used in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to look at the verses here, beginning in verse number 42. And this passage reflects that meaning of being together and having things in common. Let's begin reading in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was something they had in common. And fellowship, and breaking of bread, meaning the Lord's table, and in prayers. Their fellowship was around common things that they gave themselves to spiritually. They studied the Word of God together, the Apostles' doctrine. They prayed together here in this passage. They broke bread together. They continued in some things that they were together in common, or they had together in common as believers. Look at verse number 44. The Bible expands on this, and it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Common. That's important to the understanding of fellowship. Verse number 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. One accord, agreement. End of verse 46. Gladness and singleness of heart. These are things that are true of people that have genuine Bible fellowship. Let me say this. I don't believe that all fellowship has to be serious. I believe that we can enjoy communication with one another. We can enjoy talking about our common life together. But watch this. The primary emphasis in the New Testament is that of spiritual fellowship. That means when we gather together as a church body, whether that's at summer camp or whether that's at singles volleyball on Friday night, or whether that's at a after church fellowship or a 60th anniversary fellowship, the primary function of that, the basis of that, is spiritual, not physical. Our physical overflows from our spiritual commonality, from our spiritual unity of the things that we have in common spiritually. First of all, I want you to see a calling into fellowship. If you're taking notes tonight, point number one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9. It's why one of the reasons I believe that when we get together in whatever setting to enjoy one another's company, I believe there ought to be prayer present. I believe that maybe there ought to be scripture as part of that. Because our fellowship is primarily spiritual. One of the things that really impressed me about the our young people and the singles, they have volleyball on Friday nights, and I know a couple of them were burdened either to have a time of prayer to begin or to read a verse together before they begin. And that really, when that came back to me, that encouraged my heart that, you know, there's a spiritual foundation to why we get together. That is the foundation for why we get together. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's writing to a local church, believers at Corinth. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you got saved, you were called to fellowship with Christ. Boy, for a believer not to be fellowshipping with Christ, he is missing his calling. We are called unto fellowship with Christ. Whether you're 12 years old and you're a believer in Christ, or whether you're 80 years old, every believer is called unto fellowship with Christ. I'm to have common ground with Christ. I'm to enjoy communion with Christ. I'm to have relationship with Christ. I'm called unto that as a believer. For a believer not to have any interest in that is really a shaky thing. Because part of my calling to salvation, part of my being saved, is a calling unto fellowship with Jesus Himself. That's a wonderful calling. That's a daily calling. Fellowship with Christ. And so there's a calling to that. Fellowship denotes an interactive relationship between God and believers who are sharing new life through Christ. It's important for us to understand that. Fellowship is having common ground. It requires common ground. Now, I want you to see something else in these texts. And I want you to see, secondly, the conditions of fellowship. The conditions of biblical fellowship. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. To have spiritual fellowship, biblical fellowship, there are some conditions. Somebody once said, blood runs thicker than water. Right? And so, generally, that's in the context of family relationships. Family relationships are very strong. But I would argue from the Scripture that our fellowship with one another, that are believers in Christ, is richer and deeper than with a family member that doesn't know Christ. Because we have something that I can't have with an unbeliever. We have biblical fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, I want you to begin following as I read in verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, our common ground, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now watch the context of this passage. John is saying we are witnesses of Christ. In the first chapter here of 1 John, he's saying, listen, we've walked with Him, we've touched Him, we've handled Him, the Word of life, Jesus Christ Himself. And now I am telling you about Him. Why am I telling you about Him? So that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why did John write these things? Look at back at verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. When is a Christian full of joy? I'll tell you when he's full of joy. When he has fellowship with God. And he has fellowship with believers. That is the most joyful point of the Christian life. If you have lost joy, there is a good thing to check in your Christian life. What is my fellowship with God and His Son? And then, where am I off in my fellowship with the believers? Because John writes this whole thing about Christ so that people's joy would be full. How does that happen? You receive Christ. You begin fellowship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as a result, you enter into fellowship. Watch this. Common ground with other believers. And that common ground is fellowship with God and fellowship with His Son. This is a condition for fellowship. I can't enter into this kind of biblical fellowship with somebody that is not a believer. He says, I have written these things to you so that I may have fellowship with you. So that you would believe on Christ. And all of a sudden, we got something big in common. That's salvation through Jesus Christ. My, when somebody comes to Christ Church, hear me, we need to invite them into fellowship. We need to go after them. We need to befriend them. We need to welcome them. They have entered fellowship through Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. That's why the gospel's given, that they may have fellowship with us who are believers. So may I encourage you, we've got a number of new believers around. I don't know if you're taking notice. I don't know if you're learning names. But let me encourage you, church. The gospel's been preached. They have received the gospel. They received the gospel. Why? So that they may enter fellowship with us. That's the purpose of the gospel here. So that their joy would be full. What does it take? It takes fellowship with God and fellowship with believers to give joy that's full. We're a country church. We know who we know in the church. A lot of established people that you know what pew you like. But brethren, may I remind you tonight, we are to be welcoming others into fellowship. As they believe on Jesus Christ, they enter fellowship with us. And watch this, there's no member that's more significant than another in fellowship. We're all on the level playing ground. We're all on the level ground of sinners saved by grace. And so the fellowship, the conditions of fellowship, biblical fellowship as we know it, is a horizontal, vertical relationship with the Lord, and then right horizontal relationships with one another. Jesus is the source and fount of all that spiritual fellowship. That is why it is important that you are fellowshipping with the Lord. Because if you're fellowshipping with the Lord, and I'm fellowshipping with the Lord, then when we get together, guess what? There's an overflow from the fountain of my fellowship with Christ that begins to pour into one another. That's what John has laid out in 1 John chapter 1. The essence of the Christian life is fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers in Christ. That's what we have in 1 John chapter 1. And so we have to keep walking in light for those fellowship, for that fellowship with God and the fellowship with man, believers to be right. Verse 7, 1 John chapter 1. The danger to fellowship, the threat to fellowship in your life, biblical fellowship, is sin. In verse number 6, if you go back to verse number 6 of 1 John, it talks about if a man sins. Let's look at it. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're saying that we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, walking in sin, we don't have fellowship with him. Uh-oh, guess what? This fellowship over here with believers isn't going to be right either. Sin is a threat to fellowship. It breaks fellowship with God. Every time that I sin, I have broken my fellowship with God. And until I deal with that before God, my fellowship with God is broken. What's not going to work right over here? If I have no fellowship with God, how's that going to relate to my relationships over here? Oh, not good. Not if these relationships are supposed to be an overflow of this relationship with Christ. And this relationship's broken. The fellowship's broken. What do I need to do? I need to restore fellowship with God. That deals with confessing sin. That's why we get to verse number 9. And he says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, folks, that's not just affecting my relationship with God. That's affecting my relationship with others. And so if I want right relationship with others, I have to have a right relationship with God. That's why confession is needful in the Christian life. It's necessary for fellowship to occur, biblical fellowship. This is important to understanding the conditions of fellowship. Biblical fellowship requires a believer walking with the Lord in fellowship and seeking to walk in fellowship with other believers. They continued steadfastly in this fellowship. You know where a church gets broken up? Over here. People have broken fellowship with God. And that happens, and you know what? Not everybody can see that. That's personal. But it's inward. And what's it going to affect over here? Because if I'm not walking in the light, I can't have fellowship with light. If I'm walking in darkness, I'm living in sin. Sin, darkness, and light. If a brother's walking in the light, guess what? They don't seem to click. It's not going to fit like this. It's going to fit like this. And so it is important. We're having the Lord's Supper tonight. The Lord's Supper is a time of evaluation and examination. It is so important for every person in our church to look at your fellowship with God. And if that fellowship is broken, if that fellowship is not taking place, then my friend, let me encourage you, that is an urgent matter. That is something that needs fixed, and it needs fixed tonight. So that I can have fellowship with brethren. So that I can be light to other brethren who are light. You know where a church really goes sour? When you have people in a church that have broken fellowship, they're walking in darkness, and they get together. Both broken fellowship and both content to walk in darkness. Live in sin. Ooh, that's a great hindrance. That is not biblical fellowship. We're not to walk in darkness. And we're certainly not to encourage others to walk in darkness. And so there's a matter here of fellowship that we need to understand. And it takes maintaining your relationship with the Lord. Fellowship, conditions of fellowship. Fellowship has limitations. Biblical fellowship has limitations. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Again, the word fellowship in the New Testament means that we are sharing some things in common. Spiritually, we're sharing some things in common. We have a common purpose. We want to please the Lord. We have a common function in the body. We're to use our gifts to edify the body and to serve by love, serve one another. We have a common person to unite around, and that's Jesus Christ. But notice here there are some limitations. Verse number 14. He says, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And there's an answer to that question. And the answer is no fellowship. There's no partnership there. There's no common ground. And what communion hath light with darkness? What common ground do those two words have together? None. They're completely separate. And so, biblical fellowship, as we understand it, cannot take place with unbelievers. I don't have that common ground to talk about. I don't have those common wonderful things to share about the Lord and His Word and what the Spirit's doing in my life and all of those things. I don't have that. We don't share the Lord's Supper together. We don't share prayer together. I can't. There's a limitation here of fellowship. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. We're looking at conditions. We looked at the calling into fellowship. We're looking at conditions for biblical fellowship now. And here's a limitation. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now here's a very strict line in the sand given to believers like you and me. And that is, I'm to have no fellowship, no partnership, no common ground with the unfruitful works of darkness. Can we just say that that's sin? Isn't all sin unfruitful works of darkness? I'm to have no common ground with that. I'm not to run with that crowd. I'm not to go to their places. I have no common ground with that. Well, preacher, that sounds arrogant. No, we shouldn't be arrogant about it, but it is biblical. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let's move to the third thing we understand about biblical fellowship, and that is the context. The context. In the New Testament, the context of fellowship is described within the local church. In Acts chapter 2, it's speaking about a group of believers at the church in Jerusalem. The Bible says in that verse that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Question, where do those things take place? They take place in church. We don't break bread independently of church. Prayer and the apostles' doctrine is church. Here it was the church at Jerusalem that enjoyed this biblical fellowship. Not the only church that enjoyed it in the New Testament, the church at Corinth. They're taught on fellowship. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is speaking. He's speaking about the churches of Macedonia. And those churches, those local churches in Macedonia, were praying us with much entreaty in verse number 4 that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Take upon us the partnership of ministering to the saints. Macedonia wanted to be involved in what Paul was doing to reach the masses. And so they had a gift for Paul. Monetary gift. Which brings in another aspect of fellowship. Fellowship is sharing. I'll get to that a little bit later. They wanted to partner with Paul. They said, Paul, we pray that you will take on a fellowship or a partnership with us, that we could have common ground in reaching the people with the gospel that you're reaching, and we'd like to have a part in that. Huh, do we do that today? Sure do. Sure do. Look at the missionaries across the back wall. You know what we've said? We as a church have made decisions. We want fellowship. We want fellowship with that missionary. We want fellowship and partnership with that missionary. And we're interested in that work and that family and how God's going to use them to impact the world. We want partnership. We want fellowship. The churches were involved in this. Church at Philippi, third church that we see the context of fellowship in. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I've got to move quickly. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Wait, who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to a local church. He's speaking to the church at Philippi. And what is their fellowship to be? The fellowship of the Spirit. There's a spiritual basis for fellowship again. Here's the fellowship of the Spirit at the church at Philippi. Rome also is a testimony of that. And so the context of fellowship. And then let me close quickly with the communication of fellowship. Stay there in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. How do we communicate biblical fellowship with one another? Well, look at verse number 2. If there's the fellowship of the Spirit, there is bowels and mercies. There is compassion shown to one another, and there is mercy shown to one another. This is how we communicate fellowship to each other. If there's the fellowship of the Spirit, there is like-mindedness, and there is having the same love and being of one of mind. This is how fellowship is communicated amongst one another in the church. These things are true when there's a fellowship of the Spirit. There is having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. There is a lowliness in verse number 3 that is also an evidence of that fellowship of the Spirit. A lowliness of mind where what? We esteem others better than ourselves. That's evidence of biblical fellowship. That's evidence that there's fellowship taking place with the Spirit of God as the driver behind it. Which, by the way, this makes sense because some of these are fruits of the Spirit. All right? Lowliness of mind. And then in verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what is another evidence of biblical fellowship? It's this. Somebody have a need over here? I need to be looking on others. Not on me. On others. Look not every man on his own things. Fellowship of the Spirit leads us to think about others and look upon their needs. And then the Bible summarizes this fellowship of the Spirit by saying, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? That was a servant's mind. That was an obedient mind where he became obedient unto death in this passage. Brethren, I think that sometimes we think fellowship is getting together and eating, which can be an aspect of fellowship. I'm not negating that.
But I'm saying that there's much more communication of what biblical fellowship is. And that fellowship is in the Spirit. It's also in the gospel. And I close with this. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The Bible says, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, for your partnership in the gospel, for your sharing with me in this work of the gospel. So, brethren, as you evaluate what is biblical fellowship and how it is communicated through a fellowship in the Spirit, but it is also communicated through a fellowship in the gospel. Some of the sweetest conversations that I have in our church is with somebody that's going after somebody lost. And they're talking to me about a gospel tract. They're talking to me about praying for this person. I'm sharing back with somebody that I'm praying for that's lost. Why? Common ground. We're on the same mission. We're going after the same thing. That's why I'm excited about the Each One, Reach One coming up for our singles. Listen, that's a fellowship in the gospel. You're communicating to one another, hey, we have a like-minded mission we're going after. And fellowship is to be communicated in the church. It's to be communicated through the gospel. It's to be communicated in the Spirit. There's a fellowship of thanksgiving I can't get to, and a fellowship of giving I don't have time for tonight, but biblical fellowship. May God give us an understanding of it. And may God give us an understanding that it all starts with salvation, followed by a consistent fellowship with the Lord. Tonight's question as we close the message is this. Are you in fellowship with Him? Because if that fellowship is not there, then give it time, but it's going to start affecting over here. It's going to start affecting my relationship with other believers. It is important. You know, the Lord's table is a picture of fellowship in 1 Corinthians 10. Do we have communion when we come to the table? The word is fellowship. Do we have spiritual fellowship? Are we practicing biblical fellowship? Am I in right standing with the Lord? And I'll share this before I close. I was praying over something this week, and the Lord's table was coming, and I knew it. And you know what the Spirit pressed upon me for an urgency to respond to something? I was going to take of the Lord's table. And if I wasn't right here and I wasn't right over here, you know what I was going to do? I was actually going to hurt the body. Because I would be taking of the Lord's table without proper fellowship. Christian, that's a serious matter. In fact, the Bible says that many sleep, many die, and are sick in churches, physically speaking, because people approach the table lightly. And my fellowship with God, your fellowship with God, is important.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision. and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.